We'll have our scripture reading at this time, if we could all stand. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. First book in the Bible, first chapter in the Bible, and first verse in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. We'll read it together. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Ready? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in church again this morning. Thank you for the song service we've had so far to prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, we pray you'd be with these special. Lord, before the message, be with the preacher. Give him and his voice the strength this morning. Lord, I pray we'd have attentiveness this morning to listen and then heed to the words that are preached. Give us a good morning. We'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Disciples stood on top of the mountain, watching as Jesus rose to heaven. Then two angels came and gave them his promise that one day they would see him again. This same Jesus is coming. The great I am is coming in power, glory, and victory. This same Jesus is coming for me. Every day we live, his coming gets closer, and still we know his promise. That one day we'll see Jesus in the sky to take us up to heaven on high. This same Jesus is coming again. This same Jesus who is the great I am is coming in power.
Brother Dan wrote that after Brother Caleb. I believe you preached on a Wednesday night, Brother Caleb. Is that true? Preached a message entitled, This Same Jesus. I would guess that the name of that song is This Same Jesus. Amen. Is that plagiarism, Brother Thomason? Amen. But no. No. Okay. Well, anyway, that's a good song and well written and good heart. I don't know who puts the music to what Dan writes. Kelly does. It's really nice. And that is a blessing. Amen. And a very good song for us this morning. All right. I am not going to border on the simple this morning. I'm going to dive right in the middle of it, wallow around in it, and stay there all time, okay? This is going to be simple, all right? Simple, that's where we're going to be. And so if simple offends you, just put on your offended face right now, okay? Save you some time later. But I just want to get, really, this is, in the last 3 or 4 days, since I had this all pinned out, I thought, I'm really embarrassed by this. But you know what? If a couple of people will get this, it'll change your life. Change your life. And so this is the worst my voice has been since Wednesday night. Those of you that were here, it was much stronger Wednesday night. And it's been stronger. I have no idea why. I do a lot of talking Sunday morning just in the hallway, meeting people, greeting people. I don't understand folks who go to the same church, pass each other in the hallway and don't speak. I don't understand that. I can't do that. But anyway, so it's what it is right now. We'll get through it, and the Lord will help us, all right? I want to speak to you on the subject, I am resolved. I am resolved, all right? Let's pray. Help us, dear God, please. And, Lord, this is what you've given me to use this morning. I pray that you'll help me, and I pray that we'll listen. And may your Spirit have control in the service. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, please, this very elementary matter, to get it down and be resolved. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. When we think of a new year, we think of resolution. Many people like to talk about making a resolution, a New Year's resolution. And then that talk about a New Year's resolution can usually be followed up with talking about how long they lasted. A day, a half a day. I heard a fellow on the radio this week. He said one of his New Year's resolutions was to quit pushing the elevator button up or down when he was waiting for it to come. He said, I stand there and I wait for it to come and I keep pushing the same button like that's going to make it come faster, you know. And he said that lasted all of one day, and he broke his resolution. But anyway, I suppose that most New Year's resolutions are never kept more than just a few days, maybe a few weeks. I suppose the resolution idea stems from the idea of new. It's a new year, so it's a new beginning, a new start. And, you know, there are characteristics or quirks about all of us that could be changed, could be bettered, could be, in some cases, could be done away with. I've got some. I'm sure you've got some. There are other things that are heavier. They are more important matters, crucial to our well-being, spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, educationally. And those things need to be taken into account, need to be given consideration. Now, maybe you made some New Year's resolutions, maybe not. If you don't, that's fine. But I would like to throw one out to you today for your consideration during these moments we have together. Now, before I do that, what does resolution mean? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines resolution like this: fixed purpose or determination of mind. Fixed purpose or determination of mind. I sound loud to myself, but are you hearing me okay? You okay back there? All right, very good. I believe here's a good Bible usage. Oh, you won't find the word resolution in the Bible. Okay? But listen to this verse, Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. And David repeated that in chapter 108 and verse number 1. My heart, O Lord, is fixed. That's resolve. That's determination. It's the idea of being set in something and not moving from it. I like what the songwriter said. We sing the song. Sometimes it's titled the same title as my message this morning. I am resolved. No longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sights. I like what he said. So what resolution, if any, what determination of mind, what fixed purpose, think about this, could be universal in its scope so as to do all of us good? Because it really wouldn't do me any good this morning to come to the pulpit with an idea for a resolution that might benefit 10 of us. Okay? I'd rather come to the pulpit with an idea for a resolution that could benefit all of us that are in the room today. Now, if only 10 of us get it, I've still given something that could have been used by everybody. So I've got to think about a resolution that benefits, that's universal in its appeal. That's universal in its benefit, and I believe we're on to it. Very simply, our Bible starts with the words, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Now, it would be a helpful thing if all people would acknowledge that truth. Time and matter, as we know it, began with God. I'm talking about God the Father. In the beginning, God. Time and matter, as we know it, began with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was there at the beginning of time and matter. The time and matter began with God's Spirit, because the Bible says at the end of verse number 2 in chapter 1 here, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." You see, that great triune God, our great Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, they were all at the beginning of time and matter as we know it. There is no beginning without Him. None. There is no ball of burning orange inching up the horizon, lighting and warming the day without God. There is no slow setting of that same ball of orange painting the evening skies with brilliant color without God. There is no array of stars twinkling against the dark sky like diamonds on a cloth of ebony, like without God. None. There is no beauty of seasons. The white of winter. Well, I think about that one. The light spring, the light green of spring. The dark green of summer, or the brown of autumn or fall, without God. There is no majestic elk. There is no sly fox. There is no kingly lion. There is no humble dove. There is no glorious peacock without God. None. There is no delicious apple. There is no sweet orange. There is no chewy date or purple plum without God. There's no cool, refreshing, satisfying, life-sustaining drink of water without God. And those are all tangible things. And I can start throwing in all the intangible things. There's no joy without God. There's no love without God. There's no hope. There's no peace without God. There's no institution of marriage and all the wonderment that it brings to life without God. It all begins without God. I could go on and on and on, because in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Would you like a New Year's resolution to start this year of 2012? Well, let me give you one. It all starts with God. How about this? Number one, begin your day with God this year. Begin your day with God. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 3. Listen to what the psalmist said. He said, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee." The Bible says in Psalm 59:16, "I will sing aloud of thy mercies in the morning." People, there's something very helpful about beginning your day with God. In the beginning of my day, God. In the beginning of your day, God. Don't begin the day with the cell phone. Don't begin the day with the television. Don't begin the day with the internet. Don't begin the day with email. Don't begin the day with a text message. Don't begin the day with a radio or some landline telephone. Begin the day with God. Decide 2012, in the beginning of my day, God. You start it with Him. You start it with Him by reading your Bible and praying. Reading your Bible and praying. Now listen, God makes it possible for us to arise, to breathe, to have life, to move, to possess life. So make the beginning of your day, let the beginning of your day be with God. Let me encourage you to get a good reading schedule, a Bible reading schedule, or a reading guide, or the Baptist Bread booklet that we pass out here 6 times a year. Let me encourage you to get that. You can go on the internet and get you a good Bible reading guide. I got for myself this year, I got a Bible reading guide that will help me read the Bible through chronologically. I don't know if they ever read it like that. According to date of it being written. And it took me through the first 12 chapters of the book, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. And then I jumped to Job, and I've been in Job several days now. It takes me chronologically through the Word of God. That's a very helpful thing. I don't care what you do. And by the way, it may just be that you get through the New Testament this year. But if you don't have some plan to begin your day with God by reading your Bible, you won't do it. You got to have a plan. A plan, a system. And so get you a good Bible reading schedule. If your work schedule has you starting work so early that it's difficult to get up any earlier to read, then get the Bible on CD or get the Bible downloaded on your iPod. And as you drive to work, listen to the Word of God. Don't begin your morning with Mike and Mike. Don't start your morning with the personality on WGN. Don't start your day with the radio voice on WBBM. Why don't you start it with God's voice? So I don't have God's voice. All you got is Word. You're playing that Word over the CD and the stereo system of your vehicle or over the earbuds of your iPod as you drive to work. The important matter is that you start your day with God. In the beginning of my day, God. Some of you aren't doing that. You're not doing that. And it's not that you're just not starting one day with God. You're not starting the second day or third day. We're into the eighth day. Talk to me. Not out loud. Answer me in your mind. How many days of the 8 days of 2012 have you begun with God? That's not a fair question. Why is it not a fair question? You're God's people. You're God's child. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. I am too. Be wrong, very wrong, for me to go day after day after day after day after day without beginning my day with God. In the beginning of my day, God, get God on your mind in the morning. Get God in your thoughts in the morning. Think of Him. Think of His love. Think of His care. Think of His concern. Those things will warm your heart. You're going to begin your God. You're going to begin your day with someone. How much better you and your day will go and be if you begin your day with God. Let your first words be to Him. Now, you don't have to say them out loud. But let your first words, the thoughts of your heart, be to God. Hey, you can roll out of bed and you can climb out of bed with thoughts of, oh, brother, another day of so-and-so. I'm so mad at him. Or I can't wait till I get to do this today. Or you can crawl out of bed with the thoughts, how am I going to get this done? Or where is this project going? Or what am I going to do with this situation? You could begin your day with, why do I have to get up? You start it anyway, like anything you want to. Or you could start out climbing out of bed with this. God, thank you for life and breath and health. God, help me to honor you today. God, please go with me all day. God, thank you for your grace. I'm going to need it today. God, you are my rock, my refuge, my security. Thank you. In the beginning of your day, God, I've asked God to help me this year. I'm not talking now spooky. I'm not talking some mystical, weird, out-of-body thing. I'm not talking about that at all. But I've asked Him specifically to help me wake up in the morning and the first thought of my consciousness to be about Him. The first thought of it. Immediately. Because in the beginning of my day, I want God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of my day, God. In the beginning of your day, God. Let me ask you, how do you start your day? How do you begin your day? Who do you start your day with? I'm resolved. 2012. I want to begin as many days, if not all of them, as many days as possible with God at the beginning of my day. In the beginning of my day, God. God. Some of you have heard this poem. It's beautiful. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine. When I too had loosed the moorings with His presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learned from many a troubled way, you must seek Him in the morning if you want Him through the day. Who do you start your day with? In the beginning of my day, God. Not in the beginning of my day, the Wall Street Journal. Or the Chicago Tribune. Or Channel 7 News. Or WMVP. Or any good gospel music singing group. No. In the beginning of my day, God. I'm not talking about being spooky. I'm talking about getting God in your mind. Your consciousness, your awareness. In the beginning, God. Begin your day with God. And then let me say number two. I said we're going to stay, dive in simple and stay there. Number two, begin your week with God. Begin your week with God. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." Listen, the practice of the disciples, that is the followers of Christ, okay? Coming together, that's assembling on the first day of the week, that Sunday, is found in the Bible. This is not just an exercise that somebody dreamed up some years ago to keep people busy and give us something to do on Sunday morning. This is what God's people do. This is what God's people have done. And God's people who learn to do it consistently and God's people who strive to do it faithfully are blessed. They're helped. In the beginning of my week, God, I know this to be a fact. I know this to be true. It has been my experience now, 31 and a half years of being full-time as assistant pastor or pastor, that when a saved person could get to church and doesn't consistently and faithfully attend the services, they struggle in their Christian growth. Now, I know that. And I'm careful with my words this morning because I understand and realize that some wonderfully godly saved people are physically incapable of getting to the services. They just can't get out of bed hardly or a wheelchair. Some can come on Sunday morning because their eyesight is good. They can see and get out. They can't come back to the evening services. I have patience with that. But I'm saying again, If you can get to church and you don't faithfully and consistently attend, you're going to struggle in your Christian growth. You cannot routinely forsake the assembly without it taking a toll on you in some way, a negative toll. You can't do that. In the beginning of my week, God. My week. I want my week to begin with God. Away with this poppycock, ego-driven idea of I can worship God just as well, if not better, at home or somewhere else besides church. You know, I guess I should be pleased to meet a person who believes that. I guess I should really be impressed to know their acquaintance, because to know them would be to know someone who knows better than God what is good for people. I guess my greatest hope would be that maybe someday God could meet them. And maybe they could give God some helpful hints and instruct Him and correct Him about this whole idea of the church age and this whole concept of the New Testament church and the whole idea of assembly and the whole cost. Think of all the cost that could be saved of assembling if we could worship God together better at home by ourselves than together in an assembly. Maybe someday God could meet that man and be helped. But until God meets him and changes what he says, I think I'll just stick with what he says in his book. And he says the disciples came together upon the first day of the week. They assembled. And they assembled faithfully. And they assembled consistently. And then you say, well, it smacks of Catholicism and the ritual of worship. Brother, it only becomes ritual if it happens in your heart to become ritualistic. It's not ritual to me this morning. I nearly came unglued hearing them sing the song. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power that saves. There's nothing ritualistic about that song, even though we've heard it again. My heart thrilled. I wish my voice would. My heart thrilled to hear that again. It's only ritual if you make it ritual. It's only ritual if it's become cold and dead in your heart. Church is a wonderful place. And it's a blessing, if I might say so this morning, to say it's a blessing to be able to come to a church that has some life and has a little touch of God's help on it. And we're not the only one out there. I would never say that. Haven't ever said that in 21 and a half years. Never would take that mental approach that we're the only ones that take our mentality. But I do believe God's blessed us a little bit to be able to come to a place with some life and some friendliness and love and the light of God's Word. Friend, don't stay away from the assembly. Don't stay away. Look, where, you know, how in the world do we take the gospel to a world without assembling together and coming together as a group of God's people and trying to touch the world from this street corner? You can't do that as well from your house by yourself as you can do it joining together with God's people at an assembly. That's why it was God's idea. That's why he put it in the Word of God. I don't know what verses you could come up with that would claim that you can worship God just as good on Sunday morning in a private location away from church as you can with the assembly. You know what? In the beginning of my week, God. In the beginning of my week, God. You see, the best thing you'll do at the beginning of your week is to start it with God. You know where he'll... You say, well, I'd like to do that. Where will I meet him? In the chair of some Sunday school classroom at 10 o'clock. In the pew of this auditorium at 11 with a songbook in your hand and an open Bible in your lap and maybe a pen or pencil in your hand, writing some things down and ready to receive what the Spirit of God will serve up to you when he comes in this place, ready with an open heart to receive it. That's where you'll meet God. In the beginning of my week, God. Now we'll say a word this morning. We'll say a word to several new folks over the last 3 or 4 years here. I'm so glad you're here this morning. You know, when I pen a message, I put down on paper what I believe God wants me to say. I have no idea who will show up. No idea. But there's a bunch of you here this morning, and I'm glad that you are. And I want to say a word this morning. Listen very carefully. You know what? You know what beginning your week with God means? In the beginning of your week, God, you know what that means? Become faithful to church. It means a lifestyle change. It means a lifestyle change. I was talking to some folks this week on a soul winning visitation on Tuesday night, following up on somebody that's been saved not too long ago. And I said, you know, well, I want to know the Lord better. I said, you can know the Lord better. And tell you what, it's a lifestyle change. You can't stay out till midnight on Saturday night partying and be your best for church on Sunday. It has to be a priority. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. You go to work. I don't know if I can be at the same place every at 10 o'clock. You go to work on Monday morning, same place, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, some cases Saturday. You can make that kind of commitment. Oh, I understand. That's for a paycheck. Unless you forget who's paying your bills. And by the way, this is not just for new people. This is for everybody. God butters our bread. Yes, sir. It's a lifestyle change. Don't tell me you can't. No, you can. Yes, you can. You make it a priority. You make it a lifestyle change. You know, Sunday morning used to be a time for me to recover from Saturday night and get over a hangover in some cases and get my eyes unglued and get my thoughts back together. And it used to be time for this and time for that. And when you get saved, Sunday morning becomes a time for God. In the beginning of my week, God. In the beginning of my week, God. Let me say this morning. Sometimes people don't like to make the beginning of their week with God because of how things go through the week. Hey, drink like a fish. Alcohol, drunk. Get yourself all soused up. Got your wine with your evening meal. Not too comfortable to come to church and sit. As I say, it's a lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle change. It's a holiness change. It's a whole thing. It's a whole ball of wax. It's I want to begin my week with God. And the best place to begin my week with God is in that house over there that they call a church, which is not a church. This is the church. We are the church. And we assemble. And God speaks to our hearts through His Word. In the beginning of my week, God. And I don't want anything to interfere with my ability and my eagerness to get to that place on Sunday. Living right Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Some of you treat God like He's the owner of the hardware store. Like He's a manager over at Farm and Fleet. Go see him about once a month. That's right. Check in about every 6 weeks like you do at Walmart. I know. Yeah, that's how it is for me. For some of you, it's every day at Walmart. I count success by how much time passes between my visits to Walmart. When I can go a whole year, I just go into heaven after that. Amen. You do think I'm joking? You treat God like Walmart. Well, what do you want to do? Well, let's just go to church today. Well, we hadn't been in 4 or 5 weeks. I guess it's time that we go. I'm glad you come. Well, don't you treat me this way, I won't be back. I'd rather try to ruffle your feathers and get the Holy Spirit of God to grab a hold of your heart and change you and make you like me. Liking me is not going to do you a whole lot of good. But letting the Spirit of God change you in a very important matter of your Christian life will be for your ever betterment. Yeah. In the beginning of my week, God. In the beginning of my day, God. By the way, you know what it takes? It takes some people coming to that place of lifestyle change for there to be a church for others to come to. I don't mean to be ugly. But if opening the doors of this church depended on how committed some of you folks were, its doors would never be open. There had to be a group of people committed enough to God to get a place up and running like this so that the doors are open every Sunday for people who need help to come. Amen and amen. That's exactly right. In the beginning of my day, God. In the beginning of my week, God. I know what I'm saying this morning. Calculated it out. Put it on paper. Meant to do it on purpose. Ask God to bless it. I know I'm running a risk this morning. I know I'm out there. And I'm out there where somebody could really get mad at me. So you don't understand my circumstances. And you know what? What? You may have a particular extenuating circumstance, but a lot of folks don't. They just haven't said, in the beginning of my week, God. They haven't resolved that. I am resolved in the beginning of my day, God. I am resolved in the beginning of my week, God. Begin your day with God. Begin your week with God. And then I'll say this, and we're done this morning. Begin a new start with God. A new start with God. Let me ask you a question. What dimension of your walk of faith needs a new start? Let me ask you a better question. Have you even thought about it? Did you turn the page from 2011 to 2012 and not even stop to consider how did it go this year? Did you think about it? Did you think about every area of your Christian walk? A Bible, prayer. Nobody is apprehended. Nobody has arrived. No man can say that. No woman can say that. But you can look back in honesty at some areas of your Christian walk. And 2011 was a good year. God really did some things. And then you can look back at 2011 and you can see where, my goodness, did I ever fumble the ball. I'm really disgusted with myself in a couple of areas of my Christian walk. As I look back over 2011, really disgusted. And it's nobody's fault but mine. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my family's fault. It's none of these staff men's fault. It's not the church's fault. It all lays on me. I'm so disgusted with it. Have you asked yourself that question this morning? In the last few days? What dimension of my Christian walk could be bettered in 2012? What area needs to be boned up? You say, well, I know this comes to my mind and this comes to my mind. Guess what? You say, but it means, in some cases, it means starting over. In the beginning, God. You know, the devil tries to convince you and me that to restart something, to begin again in a certain area of Christian walk, is just going to be too difficult, too hard. I talked about reading your Bible this morning. Somebody sat in the pew while I was preaching and said, you know what, I can't do it. He's already got you convinced. But you know what? In the beginning, God. What do you need to restart? Restart it. You know who's going to be there when you begin? God. Do you lay your Bible down last year? Pick it up. Did you throw away your prayer list last year? Pick it up. You know, I get you a pen and a little piece of paper and write five things on there and start. And you know what you'll find with that little five-item prayer list? In the beginning, God. Have tracks accumulated in your car? Have tracks accumulated in your purse because you just quit passing them out? Did you used to come out at 10 o'clock on Tuesdays or 6:30 on Tuesday nights or on Saturdays? What a crowd out yesterday. What a crowd out Tuesday night. Did you used to go? In the beginning, God. He'll be there. Begin again. Get started. You know, this coming Saturday, it's a wonderful opportunity. This was all Brother Caleb's idea. He came and he said, could I have one Saturday a month where we emphasize going out and visiting people? And he said, trying to get folks who maybe just can't commit to a weekly visitation time to maybe commit to one Saturday morning. Just one Saturday morning. Come from 10, you know, a little breakfast at 9 and some instruction at 9:30 and leave at 10 o'clock for an hour and a half, provide child care and so forth. I said, Brother Ken, it's a great idea. Set it up best you can and run with it. And he has. And it'll start, the first one is next Saturday. But I used to. But I'm so afraid in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of my day, God. In the beginning of my week, God. In the beginning again, or restarting, if you will, of some dimension of my Christian walk that has faltered. In the beginning, God. I'm thankful for a God who's there in the beginning. And you can begin over and over and over again. And is always there. And I want to say this morning, that the greatest beginning you'll ever have is when you begin to really live by being born into God's family, trusting in His Lord, His Son, Jesus Christ. You talk about a beginning. You talk about the beginning of all beginnings, the day that you get saved. I don't know this morning whether you've trusted Christ as your Savior or not. If you've never made that choice to embrace the Lord Jesus, His death, His burial, His resurrection, you can begin a great experience if you get saved. I am resolved in the beginning of my day, God. In the beginning of my week, God. In some areas that I need to do better in the beginning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would you please help us? I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll please speak to the heart now. And I pray that you'll take these words of challenge and exhortation, instruction. And God, I pray that you'll burn them in our hearts today. I am resolved. In the beginning of all time and matter, you were there. There is no beginning without you. And I want to start every day this year with you. And every week with you. Help me, I pray, O God, to be resolved.